Welcome back, America. The American swimmers drive it like they stole it because they stole the truth. Let me say at the beginning, my son works with Eric Desenhall, and so I always tell people that when Eric comes on. He is the president and CEO of Desenhall.com, crisis management, Desenhall Resources, one of the big fixers in American media. Eric is the author of Glass Jaw. We talked about that a few years ago. And I called my son last night. I said, could Eric come on? Because I have never seen a PR hole deeper than these swimmers have dug. Maybe Michael Jackson in the bad old days. But Eric, welcome. It's good to have you on.
Thanks a lot, Hugh, and your son James is a fine American.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I would hope that none of my kids would ever flat out lie. But my theory of what Ryan ought to do is come out and say, I'm changing my name to Stupid and I'm flying down to work in the Favalas. What would you have these swimmers do, and importantly, the United States Olympic Committee do?
Well, look, I think it's important that you raise the different parties, because a lot of what you advise depends on who your client is. Is your client the athlete? Is your client the U.S. Olympic Committee? Is your client a sponsor? I mean, usually when I get involved with these things, what the general public often doesn't understand about sports-related scandals, even if they involve personalities, is that the real shot callers are often the sponsors. That's point number one. Point number two, a lot of what you have to look at in these situations is the tension between the legal process and the whole PR side. On the legal side of the equation, it suggests being quiet, not talking. I mean, remember, what got Ryan Lochte into trouble is talking.
Yep.
And it is completely naive to believe that more talking is going to be the answer. So right now, I think you have this interesting dynamic where it is in the best interest of Rio to, they are investors in keeping this in the news. If you are U.S. swimming, if you're Lochte, if you're a sponsor, you want it out of the news. And a lot of what you have to end up doing is you have to first look at, number one, what is your legal jeopardy and what is the fact pattern? If the legal jeopardy is limited, the old saw about coming out and saying we got rowdy, we messed up, we're sorry. That's one avenue. But if you're facing prison or something like that, that's a whole different story. The other thing that's been interesting is Lochte has not, at least as of this morning, backed off his position that he was held at gunpoint. And what's interesting is, and you're a lawyer, so you know this better than I do, is if someone held a gun to him and said, give us the money for the damages that you've caused, one could make a legal argument that they were held up at gunpoint. So, you know, it's a mess there. And my gut right now is what they're trying to do is determine what the legal jeopardy is. And once they know that, they can back out what the PR answer is.
All right, those are the swimmers. Let's do the other three. Rio, the USOC, and the other athletes. Kerry Walsh Jennings is a friend of mine. And I'm upset with these swimmers because they're stepping on a lot of great stories. They're stepping on a lot of, you know, it's just sucking the air out of the room.
Absolutely.
And I was with last night an old law partner of mine. He's under the weather, Denny O'Neill. And he works with Newport Beach, California. Visit Newport Beach Inc. and NewportBeachAndCompany.com. They spend millions of dollars to promote an image of Newport Beach. Rio, I don't know that they're helped by this story. You just mentioned that you think that they have an interest in keeping it in the media. Is there a backlash coming if they crucify the young drunk kids for being stupid?
Well, I think that there is to some degree. But remember, Rio has been trashed throughout this whole Olympics.
Right.
And I think that one of the best things for them to come along is an adversary to shift it to. And if they can be able to say, don't look at me, look at the ugly Americans here who are making up stuff about this place being unsafe, I think it's in their short-term interest to do that. Now, would I be doing that 6 months from now? No. But right now, I mean, we live in a time of news cycles, and I think that they are very much enjoying this deflection. I think if you look at what the U.S. Olympic Committee has said, I mean, it's you know, what they said actually resonates with one of the things I've seen. It was sort of a comment that, look, boys will be boys, people screw up. You know, what's interesting to me, and this is a gender difference, is when boys screw up, there is a sense that boys will be boys. When women find themselves in crisis, you have this double standard that they're unstable and they have to be stopped. And so I think that one of the things that that Lochte and the others have going for him is that a certain degree of recklessness is kind of built into the stock price. And if you're being sponsored by a blue chip company, by a consumer product company or a McDonald's, they can't handle a controversy like this. But if you're representing a sportswear company, it's a whole different story. I mean, look, Kobe Bryant survived his scandal with his Nike sponsorship intact, but he did lose Sprite and McDonald's. And a lot of that tells you what kind of companies they are. I mean, Nike, it's all edgy, and there's a certain amount of street cred to people being wild. So that's another variable you have to look at.
I've also got two different kinds of swimmers. We've got Lochte, who is 30-plus years old and is the bad boy of the sport. Then you got Fagan and Conger and Bence, who are 20 and 21 years old. Do they hide behind the older guy here and try and play the kid card? Because Ryan, he can't do it. He's 30 years old.
No, I think that's right. And you also have to look at where people are on their career arc. I think Ryan Lochte, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but partly I am. I have to be in my business. And this is a guy who likes diving in front of cameras. And that tells you a little bit something about how he might play it. If you're one of these younger folks, it's really not in your interest to mix it up in this. And your goal would be, I mean, if I were advising one of the others, it would be let Lochte take all the heat for this, because this is not going to be a situation where you're going to win by mixing it up that much.
I'm talking with Eric Desenhall. He's the CEO of Desenhall Resources, www.desenhall.com, one of the great crisis media managers in Washington, D.C., working for some of the largest companies you will never hear him mention, because they don't. Let me ask you this, though, Eric. If you're a sports company right now and you've been watching these Olympics, who do you want to sign up? My view is Kerry Lee Walsh is everything Americans like, and April Ross. Even though they lost, even though they got the bronze, they came back. She had four gold medals before, or three gold medals before that. They're the best, and they're older, and they're wonderful. But who do you think you'd want your sporting company to go and sign up coming out of these games, which millions of Americans are watching every night?
Well, you know, you have this. One of the great things about this Olympics is you have this whole cast of incredible characters. You have Phelps, you have Ali Raisman, you have Simone Biles, you have Kerry Walsh. You know, there are a bunch of people who are terrific. You even have this young woman who I'm biased in favor of, Abby D'Agostino.
Oh, sure.
She was a Dartmouth person, so I'm always reading about her in the Dartmouth Alumni Magazine. You have these terrific people. And so while the subject of today's interview is negativity, the fact is I can't remember a time when we have had so many people who we can be proud of. So it's not like if you're a corporate sponsor, you're wringing your hands and going, oh my God, we have no options. You've got a lot of options. I mean, I don't remember an Olympics I have ever watched where I have been so proud of so many of these people who really only have extraordinary stories to tell, whether they got a gold or whether they got a silver. I mean, I've always loved Allyson Felix, and I think that she, you know, in watching her sprints, I think that she had a couple turns of bad luck, but you have somebody like her. So, I mean, if this is wide open for corporate sponsors to take on people who are really going to do good things for them.
Yeah. We threw together here a 30-second video of Mo Farah falling down, and we threw Chumbawamba behind it. 2 million people have watched that on YouTube because Mo Farah got up and he finished. And I think these people who lose and come back or fall down and get up, and it's the women's volleyball team, if they win the bronze tonight, it's our April Ross and Kerry coming back and getting the bronze. I love those stories, but do you want winners only, or do you want comebacks when they don't win?
Well, it depends what it is you're advertising for, and it also depends on the personality. A lot of what I have to look at. I mean, I'm not really a marketer. I am dealing with defending markets, marketplace defense, and crisis management. So, a lot of what I am looking for is people who are not going to get you into trouble. But I think from a marketing perspective, you have plenty of people who have things about them that are going to be appealing. The one thing that I will say, having worked on a lot of Olympic issues over 30-some years, is the sunset date for your relevance comes rather quickly. I mean, I remember back in 1984, people were saying, I don't know, Mary Lou Retton, she's kind of overexposed. Huh. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, because 6 months from now,
they're not
we're going
remember
to be on to something else. So you okay. have to be overexposed.
Crisis, though, is the USOC. They want the games back, whether it's Los Angeles in 2024 or the Ohio games in 2028, whatever they're looking for, they want the games back. And this is not helping them, right? They've got to do something because it's an international sports community and the ugly American is not what we need.
No, that's absolutely right. And I can guarantee you right now there are some conversations, the nature of which is I want this to go away. I mean, one of the interesting things is people have this notion that powerful organizations like the USOC or a corporate sponsor, that these are great, powerful, fearless organizations. I mean, the whole point of Glassjaw is that they're the opposite, that they're fragile. And that I mean, some of the biggest, toughest executives in this world you'll ever want to meet are hiding under their desks when scandals like this happen.
Sure.
And all they want is for it to go away. So what's probably happening, what's certainly happening, is they are saying to Lochte and his lawyers, make this go away. And the lawyers are saying, well, we have to figure out what our legal jeopardy is. We have to figure out what the surveillance cameras are showing. I heard an interesting point last night that an attorney made that I mentioned earlier, which is that if, in fact, somebody pulled a gun on these kids and said, you've done a lot of damage, give us money, there is a legal argument to be made here that what Ryan Lochte is saying about being held up at gunpoint has a certain modicum of truth, even though if it is not a complete modicum. Then you have the issue, Hugh, of you are given the client. Sometimes your client will insist on digging in and saying, this is my story, I don't care, I was held up at gunpoint. And so what you have is people on the outside are wondering, oh, how are they being advised? But you're dealing with a client that is telling you, these allegations against me are 100%
BS. Yeah, false, yeah. Eric Desenhall, thank you, my friend, CEO of Desenhall Resources. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Desenhall. I will be to see how he continues to respond to this crisis. I appreciate you joining me on short notice, Eric.